I'm going to continue with a word from Jeremiah, and this will actually be part six.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, thank you as we bless your name today. And we thank you, Lord, for the word that you are about to give us. And I pray, God, that we would heed the word. And it would change us. That we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers of this word. Well, thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Powerful last week, what Kathy brought in the church and what God has called the church to be. We're going to be touching a little bit more on that as well today. I'm going to continue with the sermon series. I know it's been like every other week, but a word from Jeremiah. And this will actually be part six. So if you've missed any of them, you can jump online and go back and listen to some of these words, 1 through 5. And Jeremiah chapter 1, we have, I always start here because this is the beginning of the word from Jeremiah. It comes from God. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you, Jeremiah, in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forward out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. And let me ask you this. Is the United States of America part of the nations that God has called Jeremiah to prophesy to? It is, because we are the ones now that are now listening to the prophecies and the words that Jeremiah has given. So I'm going to begin here this morning, and once you see this little subtitle that comes up, you'll understand perhaps what this message will be about today. And here it is. Be cautious with your words to the Lord. Sermon's done. We're finished. I would like to stop there, but I just can't. Because Jeremiah has some words for us today. And I want us to go to Jeremiah chapter 42 as we begin to hear what today's word will be about. Be cautious with your words to the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 42, if you're there with me now, if not, look up on the screen. Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshea, and all the people from the least unto the greatest came near. And they said to Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech you, our supplication be accepted before you, and pray for us unto the Lord your God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord your God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it to you, and I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be true and faithful witness between us. If we do not even according to all the things for which the Lord your God shall send you to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send you, that it might be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So here's the scenario. Jeremiah had prophesied earlier that Judah and Jerusalem would be overtaken. because of their disobedience to the Lord, and that all took place. And now there was just a few that were left here in Jerusalem and in Judah. And war had ravaged, you know, the war that you've seen on the screens here recently with Israel and Gaza, and such as it was in Jerusalem at that time and in Judah. But there were still a few that were left there. And they came to Jeremiah and said, "We know you're a prophet of God. Whatever you say to us, we will do." So Jeremiah says, "Okay, I will go to the Lord. And I will bring back." But I want you to notice in particular what they said in verse 5 and 6. "If we do according to all the things that the Lord God has sent us, whether it's good or whether it's evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord." How many of you have ever said, "God, whatever you want, I will do"? Be cautious with your words to the Lord. Because God listens to every word that we speak from our hearts and things of that nature. When you tell God you are going to do something, whatever you want, and then you back out, there is trouble ahead. Because sometimes in our zeal, when we first get saved, or, you know, there's a great move of God going on, and we say, "God, whatever you want of me, I will do." God's listening. God's listening. The leaders and all the people said, "We will obey the voice of the Lord no matter what. Whether you say bad or whether you say good, we're going to obey that." Jeremiah's word is clear. And this is what he says to them in chapter 42 after he hears from the Lord in verse 10. He says, "If you will still abide in this land, then I will build you and pull you, not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I've done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, saith the Lord. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand." That's what he came back with. He said, "Stay here. I know things look rough, but stay here." How many of us want to run when things get rough? One person. We want to get out of Dodge. Things are getting tough. We want to get out of here. We want to go someplace better. And that's exactly what these people were thinking. "We're getting out of here. We're going to go to Egypt where things are a little better for us." But the Word of God said, "Stay here. Stay right where you're at." So many of us sometimes forget that God has placed us where we're at. In our jobs. How many of us want to get out of our jobs because of the things that are going on? We want to get out of school. We want to get out of this. We want to get out of that. Get out of our neighborhoods. Get out of this. Have you ever perhaps thought that God has you there for a purpose? But we want to get out. So were these people. We want to get out. Jeremiah's word was very clear. Don't go to Egypt. Stay in Jerusalem. Verse 15. Of that same chapter. "And now therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord of hosts says. If you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and go to sojourn there, it will come to pass that the sword which you feared should overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and in the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt. And there you shall die." That's the word of God. Because here Jeremiah was saying something totally opposite than what they thought was good. "Hey, it looks better over here." But God says, "Stay right where I'm at." "No, I don't want to do that. I want to go somewhere." And how many of us actually do go and we leave the post that God has called us to be at. Now, we know what God said to the people. We know the consequences God also gave them, that if you leave, you're going to suffer all kinds of issues. You're going to have troubles. You're going to die there in that place. How many of us would say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to stay here"? And we look at these Bible stories and we look at things like this and we say, those people are so dumb. Why didn't they listen? Well, yeah, you could read the rest of the story and you know now, and they should have listened. But how many of us, we move when we shouldn't move and we go where we shouldn't go because we're just trying to avoid trouble? And we've been talking about that. Kathy talked about that. Week before, we've talked about that. Embrace the trouble. Embrace the trial. God may have you exactly where He wants you at. But we don't like to hear that. We don't want to hear that. And so it was. What do you think the people did? The people probably, "Yes, sir, we're going to stay here because we told you we were going to stay here." Patty's shaking her head. You read the rest of the story ahead of me, didn't you? Spoiler alert. Here's what the reply was of the people. Look over in chapter 43 right now. "Then spoke Azariah, the son of Hoshea, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying to Jeremiah, 'You speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, go into Egypt and sojourn there. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that you might put us to death and carry us away captives to Babylon.' So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah." Oh my goodness. Totally opposite of what they said. Paula, what did they say? What did they say? "Jeremiah, go to the Lord and we will do whatever you ask of God, whatever God says, good or bad, we'll do it." How often does the church of Jesus Christ change their minds? When God says, "Stay put. I'll use you right there. I will use you." But we want to run. Just a prime example, and I'll go back. My goodness, how many years ago was that now? 18 years ago. When God called us here to this property, and He said, "This is where I want you." And the enemy came and threatened and threatened and threatened. And so many said, "Let's just get out of here. Let's just not deal with this. It'll be easier to go somewhere else." But what did God say? "Stay. This is the place." And God has proven time and time and time again that this was the place. Stay it out, ride it out, and watch what I'll do. And God has done it. But these people said, "Nope, you're lying to us. You're not talking from God." Wow. You know, God heard the words that they spoke earlier. How do you think God feels about this? I want to show you how God feels about our words. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It's not a book that we go to that often. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Verse 2. We could stop right here. Look at this verse. "Do not be rash with your mouth." How many want to raise their hand and say, "I'm rash with my mouth"? Oh, wow. Yeah, we got a couple of them. Anybody else? You let your mouth speak before anything else. Do not be rash with your mouth. Let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and you're upon the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When you vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which you have vowed. Better is that, that thou shouldst not vow, than that you should vow and not pay. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Neither say you before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? Now, when you read that, can we just say, well, that was Old Testament. God's different now. He's not. He hasn't changed. When you vow something unto God, he expects you to keep what you have vowed. No matter how hard or how difficult it might be along the way. He expects that. Matthew chapter 5. I want you to understand that this isn't just one little thing that God threw in His Word there in Ecclesiastes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Again, you have heard, this is now Jesus speaking, that it's been said of them by of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord your oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yes and no, for whatever is more than these comes from evil. In other words, what you say unto the Lord that you will do, does he expect you to do it? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. God would rather have it if he came to you and he spoke to you and he said, I want you to go and do this. He would rather have it that you said, no, I'm not doing that, than for you to say, yes, Lord, I'll do that, and never do it. That all goes, he'd rather have you to be cold or hot. But he doesn't want you to be, what? Lukewarm. He's called us to pay attention to the things that we say. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, now in verse 36. But I say unto you, Jesus speaking again, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now I'm going to submit to you, how many of you have read that scripture before? And you wondered, what is an idle word? An idle word is exactly what Jeremiah is talking about. That you say, I'm going to do it, and you don't do it. That's idle. When you think of your gear shift on your car, what do you have? You got park, right? When you put it in park, what's it doing? It's idling. It's just sitting there idling. It's not going anywhere. And that's the same thing as a idle word that you say, I will do. How many of us in our lifetimes, if we look back, and especially with others, we say, I'll do that, I'm going to do that, and you never have done it. That's an idle word. Or you say to God, whatever you want, God, I'll do it, but I'm not going to my next door neighbor. No. I'm not doing that. because I don't like them. You think God cares whether you like them or not? He's called you to a job. That's enough, Pastor. How does God feel about it from these verses that you've read? Come on, is He happy when you decide you're not going to keep what you said? Is He happy about that? Let me ask you this. Are there going to be any consequences to it? Yes, there are. And some people say, there will not be because I've asked God to forgive me. God forgives, but there's always consequences to sin. The scriptures that we see, like, don't be deceived. What a man sows, he also shall reap. And scriptures like, a man's sins will find him out. These are called consequences that come back later. And they're consequences to you saying, God, I will do whatever, but then God speaks to you and you choose not to. So the Jewish leaders disobeyed God's word, didn't they? Absolutely they did. They took all the people that remained in Judah and all the young people, all the widows, everybody that had remained there that the armies that came in and destroyed Jerusalem didn't want. And they took them, and listen to this, including Jeremiah. Where did they take them? Egypt. Took them to the exact place that God said, don't go. Took them to Egypt. To go and live in Egypt. Here's the second subtitle that I put out here. God won't stop our disobedience to Him. But He will remember it. In other words, when God speaks to you and He expects us to do something and we've already told Him yes, and then we do the exact opposite and don't do what God's asking us to, is God going to send down an angel, Todd? He's going to get right in your face and say, nope, you're not leaving here until this is done. Is God going to do that? He's not. Why? Because He has given us free will. He has given us free will. And I can't tell you how many over the years of ministry that have said to me, you know, I made a huge mistake. I walked away. Why didn't God stop me from that? If God would have just stopped me, I wouldn't have done it. But He can't do that because He has given us free will to choose whether or not to obey what His voice says to do. So God will allow that. He sees it happening. But He will remember it. See, these people had a refusal to humble themselves under the hand of God. Absolutely refused it. Now we're gonna see that right now. If you jump back with me to Jeremiah chapter 44, should have had you hold your finger in there. In chapter 44 now, verse 10 through 14, here's what Jeremiah says. They are not humbled, even unto this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, that they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine, and they shall die, even from the least of the greatest, by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it, huh? Negative. Why? because they refuse to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. As a matter of fact, we're going to see how much they refused. Look down a little bit further. Here's what they said to Jeremiah in verse 16. As for the word that you have spoken to us, in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto you. But we will certainly do whatever thing goes forth out of our own mouth. Now I want you to pay particular attention to that. Does God hear the words that are coming out of your mouth? He does. And they flat said to the face of God, we will not do what your word says, but we will do what our word says. Now this is dangerous territory when you begin to tell God what you're going to do. Now, if I ask you to raise hands, anybody ever did what you wanted to do instead of what God wanted you to do? Yeah. I can speak from experience on this one. Because God has specifically told me, don't do something. And I said, I'm going to do it anyway. You know where that got me? In a lot of trouble. In a lot of trouble. And a lot of consequences followed afterwards. But that verse there, we will do whatever thing comes forth out of our own mouth. And here's what they were doing. Listen. To burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes. We did it in the city of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of victuals, and we were well, and we didn't see any evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted for all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. The enemy, the devil, loves to make provision when you're doing something against God. And say, look, I'll take care of you. It's a false hope, folks. And that's what they said. Well, listen, we're going to continue to do this because we didn't have anything, any problems before, and now we do. It's really important that we get a hold of this, folks. It's important. Here's Jeremiah's response. Verse 20. Jeremiah said to all the people, to all the men, and to the women, and all the people that had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you have burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings, and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind? So let me ask you, did God see what they were doing? Did he remember it? He absolutely did. He remembered it. So the Lord could no longer bear because of this evil in your doings and because of the abominations which you have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation and astonishment a curse to this day because you have burned incense, because you have sinned against the Lord and not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, his statutes, his testimonies. Therefore this evil has happened unto you at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord. And all Judah that are in the land of Egypt, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled your hand, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, to pour out drink offerings unto her. You will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah and all the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine till there be an end of them. When God looks at a heart that refuses to repent, there's nothing except destruction that is in store for that individual. So what is God's word to us today through Jeremiah, and specifically to our nation and to our church of the Lord Jesus Christ? What are the words that are being said? What is happening in America? Is America pouring drink out offerings out to the Queen of Heaven? Yes. Worshiping things that are ungodly. Promoting things that are ungodly. And some people say, why doesn't God stop it? Because God is a God of free will that He gives us. But He remembers everything that is going on. He remembers. Unless there's a repentant heart, a humbled heart before God, the exact same thing that God pronounced through Jeremiah to the land of Israel will take place in the land of America. Now, what should that do for us next as a church? What is God calling the church to do? Some say pray. Absolutely, we should pray. But I think that there is a word that comes above every other word that God is calling for the church right now. And if you will jump over with me to the book of Revelation, and I know Kathy was there last week as well, but I want to go there again today. What is God saying? What is Jeremiah saying to us today as a church? Revelation chapter 3. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that lives, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard and hold fast and repent. There's the word. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief. You will not know what hour I will come upon you. The word is repent. Oh, but Pastor, we don't have anything to repent over. We're just lovely. We're holy. We're called to be holy. Yes, Pastor Aaron preached that. God is holy. Peter said, but be you holy in all manner of conversation. I think that the church needs to get down on our faces and begin to say, God created me a clean heart. Where are we at? Do we think that we're all that? Do we think that we're just sinless? Why has the world and why has our country ended up in the place that it's been? Is it because we're so holy that nothing could ever take place? No. Oftentimes, we have allowed the enemy to drop us into places that God never intended for His children to be in. And He's looking for repentance. He's looking for us to humble ourselves. You want to win people to Jesus Christ, you have to be humble. You have to be of a contrite spirit. You cannot walk around saying, I'm all that. I'm saved. I'm sorry you're not. Revelation chapter 3, move down to verse 19 now. And this is the Laodicean church, as Kathy talked about last week. This church age that we are in right now. Look at verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Have you gone before the Lord lately and said, Lord, would you take a look inside of me and let me know if there's anything in there that needs to come out? Well, no, because I don't want God to do that. I like what I am. Do you like the bitterness that's inside of you? How many of us might harbor bitterness against others? And you say, oh no, I love God, but I don't like my neighbor very much. I don't like my uncle. I don't like my niece. I don't like my coworker. Matter of fact, I despise them. And if I could get away from them anytime, I will. There are things that are inside of us that God wants to do surgery on. But we have to come before Him with repentance. Last scripture I want to turn over to is in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 13. And I find this interesting because there's so many of us that we don't think because we're not doing the major sins, that we're okay. There's nothing wrong with us. And verse 1 of chapter 13, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So here they're sharing this story with Jesus and others, and can you believe that Pilate did this? I mean, he took their blood and mingled it with sacrifices, and perhaps they were drinking and pouring out this blood. Can you believe how disgusting? And some of us, if we were there on that day, we probably had joined in on the conversation. That's disgusting. I would never do that. And Jesus answered, said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Do you understand what Jesus was saying? You guys are making such a big deal of this, but down deep in your heart, you are messed up just as bad. Why? Because we hate people and we have issues with people and we have bitterness and we have all those things, but yet nobody sees them. So we think we're okay. God is saying, I want to search your heart. Will you let me do that? Verse 4, or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, do you think that they were sinners above everyone else that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Did you happen to notice that verse 3 and verse 5 are exactly the same? You think Jesus was trying to get something across to us? Unless we repent. The second thing that I believe Jeremiah is saying to us, keep your word. Keep your word to the Lord. Keep your word to others. When you say you're going to do something, keep your word. And especially with God. If you told Him you'd follow Him, then follow Him. I told you last scripture, but I didn't tell you the truth. Go with me over to the book of John. The book of John, Gospel of John. And I really like this passage of scripture because it tells it just like it is. John chapter 21, verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? All right, I'm going to give you just a scenario. Jesus had just told Peter, you know what, you're going to have a miserable life from here. You're going to teach and you preach, but you're going to be caught up, you're going to be bound, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. They're going to tie you up, they're going to beat you and everything. And Peter's like, oh, great, thanks. And he points to John and he says, yeah, what about him? What's he going to get? Isn't that just like us? When we hear something, Lance, things are going to be rough for you, buddy. Thus saith the Lord. No, he doesn't. Okay? Thus saith Pastor, right? Because things are going to be bad. In 5 years from now, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, that. I think Lance might go to Dave and say, what about him? What about him? And Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow me. See, because each one of our paths is going to be different. One of us might have all the trials, might have everything else, and we're to rejoice in that. But we should also be rejoicing for the one that God has called that won't have all of those things. And it doesn't seem right to us. But Jesus said, what does it matter to you? I said, follow me. Whatever, follow me. And I think these are the words that Jeremiah is speaking to us today. How many of us will receive these words today? Father, thank you so much for this word from Jeremiah and from you. I pray that you would help us, God, to call upon you and truly ask you to look inside of us and see if there be any wicked way in us. And Father, would you deal with us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.